Welcome to Season 1, Episode 8 of the Dr. Karina Smith Podcast. Conversations about yin yoga and Chinese medicine.
How much talking is too much talking in a yoga class? Well, it's pretty personal. And of course, it's going to depend on what sort of class you're going to. So definitely, if you're going to a flow class, there's so much more that has to be said. You've got all these different alignment cues and things that you've got to set up. And if you're going to a yin class, you don't need any of that, or you don't need as much of that. And so you've got more time in the postures in a yin class. So there's a lot more availability for pockets of silence. How much is too much? How much is not enough? That's a great question. And whenever I ask this question for students, just trying to get data and interesting feedback, I always ask, who's been to a class before where the teacher does not come up for breath? And they all put up their hand. And I ask them, is that too much talking for you? And they often say yes. But then we also discuss that if you were a brand new student, or you were someone who was really, really uncomfortable with long periods of silence, maybe you had a lot of anxiety, maybe you were not that comfortable with the thoughts that rise up for you, or you were not that confident that you knew what you should be doing. And so the talking helps to keep you grounded and the instructions help to keep you focused. So there's no exact way to do anything, but there is a lot of benefit to receive some silence. And here's what I think can happen in a yoga, in a flow class where there's just way too much on offer. So if I'm in a flow class and the teacher has tons of amazing juicy things to say, or things for me to explore in my body, and they get delivered bang, one after the other, really, really quickly, I don't have any time to try any of them. And I really want to, but they get lost. They get completely lost in the mix. What I really need is some space on either side of the cue so I can see how it feels in my body. And the class probably doesn't need as many things as it is on offer. Now, I can say that because I'm really comfortable on the mat. If the teacher's offering something that doesn't quite sit with me, I'll find my own way to do it. That's no problem. I've no issue with that. But there are a lot of people that need a lot of the instructions. But I get this feeling when there's too much talking of like a tensioning that starts to rise in my body, because I haven't had any space. I haven't had any space to explore the things that are on offer. They just keep coming. Bang, 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 bang. It's too much for me. And I really want to, because I've loved all these things that are on offer. So if you're listening to these words and thinking, oh my gosh, I say way too much in my classes. Maybe you do. Maybe this is still something that you're working on. Something that I often give as a little nugget to try for yoga teachers is, if you feel like you're saying a lot in the class, if you find yourself saying, come back into downward facing dog and we're going to take 5 breaths, or we're going to come down to child's pose and take 5 breaths, stop talking. And you take 5 breaths as well, or 3 breaths, or 10 breaths, or whatever it is. I bet you'll be glad that you did, because if you were talking a lot, you're probably a little bit exhausted in that moment and not realize that you've just been going bang, 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 bang. And I know what that feeling is like, to have tons of cool things to say. I could just go on and on, especially when you're learning things about anatomy, or you might be learning things about TCM, or you've got some very particular cues that you're working on that have completely changed the feeling of a posture in your own body. And you want to just share all of it. Most of us get into this career because we just want to share what we've learned, because it's had such a big impact on us. But never underestimate the power of some quiet. One of the things that budding yoga teachers say to me is, I'm really nervous to leave silence because I don't know what to do in that silence. I feel like I'm not teaching well. I feel like I'm leaving the room stranded. And I say to them, how do you feel in a class when the teacher gives some silence? Oh, I love it. Okay. So sometimes it's good to remember what it feels like for you when you're in the student role. And not forget that when you put your teacher hat on and you start to teach. People's minds are like a clothesline. A clothesline that you can pull with clothes on it, and the clothes are the thoughts. There's stuff swooshing through there all the time. If people are left with a little bit of silence, it won't be silent in their head at all. But it might just give them a bit of space to catch up with you, the teacher, to come back to their breath, to let something go, to see something arise again and again, a particular thought. Things might start to just click together in that silence. So if you were to then, if you're a teacher listening to these words, if you were to think about the last class that you taught or a class that you're preparing to teach, we usually cram so much in there, especially in the beginning of our teaching careers. We cram so much in there that if you teased it apart and weeded out a lot of it, you'd probably find that you've got 3 or 4 classes in that one plan. And you've probably had that moment before as well when you've been teaching the class and you suddenly realize what the time is and you think, oh my gosh, we're not going to get through half of what I had planned to teach today because it's just taken longer than I thought. Which means you've got to quickly find a way to edit out everything else that you had planned and start to, you know, bring the plane down, start to find a landing. How comfortable are you with silences? That's probably the real question here. As somebody who teaches, do you feel comfortable with periods of quiet? Do you feel like something happens in that quiet that brings a lot of discomfort for you? And what is that discomfort? It's definitely something that we need to get comfortable with. And if we have set the class up well, there's going to be so much on offer in your intention that the students are going to be able to come back to if for 10 or 20 seconds you're not there peppering them with instructions and words. Sometimes people ask me, how do you get around giving silence in a vinyasa class when there is so much that you have to talk about and there is so much that you have to say? So my advice is that in the crafting of a vinyasa class, keep it simple. And when you are working out your sequences, have one primary sequence that has the same structure and repeat that sequence 3 or 4 times. And at the end of that sequence, each time, add on one more posture. So the very first time that you teach that sequence, that's the round that you give all the detail. So you can teach it slow, talk about all the Paniniki cues that you love at the moment, give them a chance to really switch on their muscles. You might be giving them different options in there. So then they can decide that that's the option they're going to do for round 2 or round 3, etc. So that's your opportunity to lay down the foundation. When you get into the second round of that, you don't have to cue it like a script exactly the same way as you did the first time. You can start to say things in more of a reference kind of way. And then you'll add a little bit more detail for that new posture at the end. And then you go back to the start. So by round 3, everybody in the room will have already started to create a short-term neural loop in their brain. Their muscle memory will switch on. And then the fresh thing at the end will just be the new thing that you're building. So by the time you get to the fourth or maybe even the fifth round, you could potentially just be cueing names of shapes and breath. And this gives the class an opportunity to build pace for the students to drop into that real sweet spot of almost transcendental motion without all the details, without all the frills. And if the postures that you're adding on the end are standing postures, the very last one might be a bridge between the vinyasa section into a standing balancing section. And the standing balancing sections are always beautifully introduced by a moment where we get to collect ourselves, to reground into the floor, to find the drishti, to come back into our center so that we've got a better chance to balance in the body. So that's one of the ways that I would get around bogging down the vinyasa class with too many words and too much detail. Do it early on in the class. Same with you setting up how you cue mulabandha or how you cue ujjayi breath. If you can do all that housekeeping, workshoppy things up front, then they can just be practices and words that you throw into the mix later, without it having to be workshopped all the way through the class. So that's a really good way for you to start thinking about, okay, I know I'm saying a lot. How do I begin to change this though? Because now it's my habit and I get to the end of the class and think, ah, I did it again. It's just saturated with words. Keep it simple. Feel free to slow it down. And look at the things that you're offering. You'll probably already have found that there are mini sequences that you've put together that you always put in your classes that you're probably starting to know really well, like the back of your hand. Is there a way for you to start doing more of a dot point cue for the things that you say over and over and over again? This helps to keep it fresh for the people that are listening, and it helps to keep you more concise and efficient in your words. Getting comfortable with silence is really important. And I hope that the next time that you're teaching or the next time that you're practicing, you have a chance to really feel the power of that. And don't be afraid to ask for feedback. If students come up to you after class, you could say, hey, I left a couple of pockets of silence in there today. How did that make you feel? Ask them. Because that feedback that they're going to give you is so important. And then you're going to feel confident that those moments of silence, if it was received well, I'm sure it will be, that those moments of silence are where the students get a chance to go, ah. And we all get to move together.
To view the show notes from this episode and to subscribe, visit drkarinasmith.com/podcast. And don't forget to check out Karina's online courses at drkarinasmith.com/courses and use promo code SAVE10 to get 10% off.